Welcome back to the Children's Ministry Podcast with your host, Carl Bastian, and his amigo, Gus. Often described as a big kid stuck in a grown-up's body, Carl has a knack for connecting with kids. And in this episode, Carl continues his three-part series during which he is giving away many of his secrets for connecting with kids. Today, you'll learn how play is more than leading games. It is a way of life. By approaching children's ministry the way a missionary approaches the foreign mission field, Carl suggests that new insights await you. So get ready for yet another fun but engaging podcast from Carl and Gus. And thanks to the very cool dude for sponsoring this playful podcast. And now, here's Carl and Gus.
Guten Tag!
What? S'il vous plaît, excusez-moi. Gus, what are you doing?
Hola! Mi amigo es muy loco.
Hey, I understood that.
Ni hango o harashimazu ka?
What are you saying?
Just say hi.
Hi, how are you?
No, not a hi as in hi. Hi as in yes.
Yes?
Yes, hi.
Hello.
No, hi as in yes.
Hi means yes?
It does in Japanese, and I just asked you in Japanese if you speak Japanese.
Well, I don't speak Japanese, so how do I say no? Do I say lo?
No, just say no.
So no is no, but yes is hi.
Exactly. So when you go to Japan, don't walk down the street saying hi to everyone. They'll just look at you and think you're walking down the street saying yes, yes, yes.
Well, that's great to know in case I ever end up in Japan, but why are you speaking in all these foreign languages?
Because I want to be a good communicator with children. And you said we need to learn the language and the culture of kids.
Well, we do, but if your kids speak English, it's okay to speak English too.
Oh, well, what if they speak pig Latin?
Well, I suppose you could speak pig Latin then.
Elohe, ohe, ra, uye, odete?
Gus, you don't have to speak in a foreign language, but you do need to speak in ways that kids can relate to. That's why in our last podcast, we talked about speaking the language of kids and using humor to connect with children. But you know, you do bring up a good point by mentioning different languages.
I do?
Yes. What if I were to say to you, Ikin nagagila ka kong makila kayo? What does that mean to you?
Well, I would guess that it means the macaroni and cheese is burned.
Nice try.
King Kong has the stomach flu?
Not even close.
Okay, how about the flying ninjas wore pajamas?
Okay, you're way off.
Well, how am I supposed to know what you're saying? I don't even know what language that is.
Well, it's the language of Tagalog from the Philippines. What if I said it more slowly? Iki nagagalaka kong makilala kayo.
It doesn't make any difference.
Or what if I said it more sternly? Hey, iki nagagalaka kong makilala kayo.
I'm starting to feel threatened here.
Okay, fine. What if I showed it to you with a flannel graph or in an animated video with cool graphics?
Listen, buddy, I don't care if you painted it in the sky with 2-mile letters and illuminated it with fireworks. I still don't get it. You gotta speak my language.
And that's my point.
What's your point?
If we don't know the language and culture of kids, it doesn't matter how slowly or how sternly or even how creatively we try to communicate. They won't learn if we're not communicating within their culture.
Though it would be kind of cool to have your kids' church lesson painted in the sky by airplanes and lit up by fireworks.
Yes, I suppose it would. But you know what? If they didn't understand the message, then it would only be entertainment.
You know, there's a lot of entertainment in churches today.
Yes, there is, and there's a place for that. But if that's all it is, then it's a shame.
So?
So what?
So are you going to tell me?
Tell you what?
What the iki na googly thingy means?
Oh, you mean iki na gagala ka kong makila kayo?
Yeah, that.
It simply means it's nice to meet you.
Well, then all I have to say to that is maraming salamat po.
Wala pong anuman?
Anang orzna?
What time is it? It's time to get back to English or we're going to lose our listeners.
Good idea, Carl. Okay, so what aspect of the kids' culture are we going to learn about today on the Children's Ministry Podcast? Which, by the way, is sponsored by a very famous dude.
A famous dude?
Oh, yeah. This dude has hung out with the likes of Sandy Patty, Miss Patty Cake, Salty Karen Henley, Dr. Seuss, Ronald McDonald, and even Amy Grant. He has been on stage with them, Amy, the big A.
Well, I'm certainly impressed.
Although I'm thinking Sandy Patty and Ronald McDonald probably weren't at the same time.
Okay, well tell me, who is our sponsor?
I'm not telling you, that's called The Hook. You gotta listen to the whole podcast, Carl.
All right, I'll try. Anyway, today we're gonna be talking about a child's work.
Work?
Yes.
A little insider tip, Mr. Kidologist, sir. Kids don't like work.
Well, they do like this kind of work.
And what kind of work would that be?
Well, you see, Gus, a kid's work is play.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
You see, for a child, play is their work because it is how they learn much of what they need to learn as a child.
So, can they only play like from 9 to 5 or can they be playaholics?
Play is a vital part of what kids do every day. You see, Gus, when a missionary goes to the mission field, one of the things they have to do is learn the work customs of the culture. They might even join in the work, especially if they're a tent maker missionary.
That is, if they like camping.
I'm ignoring you. Gus, play is important to kids, and adults who want to connect with kids must learn to play.
You make it sound like it's hard.
Well, for many adults, it is. Many adults have forgotten how to play. I mean, play to them is a break from normal life.
Play to kids is normal life.
Exactly. You see, adults schedule play.
Yeah, whereas kids schedule their work.
Yeah, and adults sometimes turn their play into work.
Yeah, well, kids turn their work into play.
It's true. You see, for adults, their default mode is work.
Yeah, and for kids, their default mode is definitely play. Do you suppose the kids maybe play too much?
Perhaps, but I know a lot of adults work too much.
So what you're saying is, if grown-ups want to connect with kids, they've got to learn how to play?
Yes. Jesus commanded us to be childlike. Not childish, but to be childlike.
So adults can learn from kids?
Absolutely. By watching them and joining them in the spirit of play. And the best part about play is it can happen anytime.
Okay, I get that adults need to play. I mean, they look pretty serious or bored most of the time. But how does a non-playful grown-up learn to play?
That's a good question.
Just trying to help you out here. You know, keep us moving forward.
I appreciate it. Let me suggest 5 ways that adults can learn from and work to incorporate play into their life. And not just when kids are around.
Number 1, shooting silly string at each other.
All right, we'll get to that. But the first way that kids love to play is to explore. Kids love to discover new things. They have this built-in sense of adventure.
Dun, 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 dun.
Exactly. In fact, one of the most fun things that I did with a second grade class at Moody Church years ago was taking them on a secret mission to open a secret door in one of the pillars in the balcony of the sanctuary and to climb up a ladder and explore the catwalks above the sanctuary, these planks of wood hanging from long beams, crisscrossing over above the suspended ceiling of this huge auditorium and discovering a little room way up in the back where there once was an organ, probably 100 years ago, where they could look down and see all over the sanctuary.
You better hope Pastor Erwin Lutzer doesn't listen to your podcast, because if he does, you are busted.
All right, I think I'm past the statute of limitations, all right? But the point is that taking kids on a sense of adventure, and not only doing it with kids, but having that sense of adventure yourself. And then you've got stories to tell the kids. I once got to explore an underground street in Chicago. As grounds crew at Moody Bible Institute as a student, I found an opening, a fresh opening, and I got to climb down under the sidewalk and walk for several blocks on a city street of Chicago that was over 100 years old and look at boarded up windows and boarded up doors. I was actually kind of hoping to find Al Capone's lost stash of gold.
Yeah, and instead you just ran into Geraldo Olivera.
Anyway, but having that sense of exploring and being an explorer, kids are drawn to that and they're captivated by that, and you can do things with them or by having that spirit yourself and telling the stories of the adventures you've been on. Kids will love that. And exploring is a way that kids play.
Okay, move on to number 2, buddy.
All right, number 2 is that kids love to experiment.
Yeah, and blow things up.
Well, they like to try things. They like to try to figure things out.
So how do you do that in ministry?
Well, bringing things to church for show and tell. Experimenting with things in church. Videotaping experiences that you have and things that you try to do. And being willing to try anything, even if you do a terrible job at it.
You know, that's a good thing to do.
What?
To really mess up in front of the kids.
Why is that?
Well, if they see that you try something and fail, then they won't feel so bad when they try things and fail, because my guess is that happens to them a lot.
That's a good point, Gus. I'm glad you brought that up. Number 3 is that kids love to play through role play. They love to pretend. They love to imagine what it would be like. They love to project their future in their role play. In fact, I remember as a child, this guy coming to my class and describing what it was like to be a skydiver. And he just put his arms out, but the way he described it and the way he imagined it, forever since then, I have been captivated by skydiving.
But your wife won't let you go.
No, she won't let me go. But if you describe something and you role play it, kids love that. One of my favorite role plays is that I often pretend that I have a twin brother named Kurt.
Oh, yeah, I met Kurt. He's great. So he's got glasses.
Yes, he does have glasses. And when we would have twins night on Awana, I would all night long constantly running into a side room, changing my shirt. I had the same shirt in a different color, put on my fake glasses, and I would switch from my Mountain Dew to my Coke. And all night long, I could never find Kurt, and Kurt could never find me. And I would visit a room and ask for, you know, where Kurt was, and they'd say he just left. And then I would leave. I'd run and change and hurry back. And then I would be Carl looking for Kurt, and the kids, of course, were going nuts. And, of course, they knew it was me being silly and role-playing. But that appeals to them, and it draws them to you.
Yeah, but isn't that the year you really warped that one little kid's head?
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, but at the end of the evening, I did go into a side room with the help of a friend. We took two pictures of Kurt and Carl posed next to each other, and then with a little photoshopping, put them together and made a picture of me with Kurt, and then we quickly printed those off and passed them out the door to the Awana kids as they left so that they could actually see that I finally did catch up to Kurt, and we even got our picture taken together, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, some of the little kids, there was one little boy in particular that seemed very distressed by that picture because he really thought he had figured out my ruse, and when it was the photo was proving that it was true, he was so disturbed I finally had to tell him that that was a trick picture and that he was right. But role play is so important to learn how just to pretend and to make believe with kids. When you're teaching, just to take on a biblical character and become that Bible character, or to just put on a crazy hat and put on some personality. Kids love that.
Okay, number four, buddy. The clock is tick-tocking.
All right, the next way that kids love to play is they like to compete. They love to play games. That's where they're developing skills and they're building confidence.
Now, you're talking about, you know, playing a game in kids' church or playing board games.
Well, learning to play games and organize games is a part of children's ministry. It's a natural part. But I'm talking about learning to have that competitive nature and that playful nature of competing when it's not an organized game. For example, recently I was at a conference and Awana was throwing, had little foam rockets that they were shooting around. And there were a couple kids there that were from another exhibitor and they had brought their kids along. And we just started playing with these foam rockets and shooting each other and ducking behind booths and displaying. And just by suddenly kind of playing and competing with these rockets, I just totally connected with these kids. And then later, I'm able to have a meaningful conversation about them, about, you know, their walk with the Lord and things like that. So when you play with kids and you just do it naturally in and out of normal life, it makes a huge impact. All right?
Okay, number five.
Number five, and the last one is the best one, and that is to learn to laugh. Kids will do anything that makes them laugh. We talked about this in the last podcast. Just enjoying life and being entertained and having fun, being willing, you know, to be silly. You know, I used to carry a yo-yo and a holster on my belt when yo-yos were all the craze. And one Sunday, I was doing a yo-yo in church, and I was showing kids how to do around the world, and my yo-yo smashed through the exit sign. I mean, glass went flying, and nobody got hurt. My yo-yo got stuck in the exit sign. Of course, it's still attached to my finger. And so just the kids were laughing. So I'm acting like I'm, you know, tied to this yo-yo and I can't get it out. And I'm going, don't tell the board of elders. Don't tell the building chairman. And of course, the kids, you know, all ran off. We're telling everyone that I broke the exit sign. And they talk about that now. Those kids are now grown up, or at least in high school, college age. And they remember the time I broke the exit sign.
Okay, so the bottom line is we got to play more.
Yes, but keep in mind, this isn't just about setting aside work to play. This is about approaching life with a playful spirit. You know, any adult can stop and play a board game or toss a ball. But those who stand out with kids are those who can play for just 2 minutes or even for 15 seconds in the midst of life. Now that has bonding power.
Well, it sounds like you really have gotten us to the root of the issue.
Is that a segue?
Ha! Very perceptive of you, Carl.
So I'm guessing that our sponsor for this podcast is none other than Alan Root.
That's right. And he is a guy that can speak a very difficult foreign language.
Oh, does he know Mandarin?
No. Preteenese.
That's right. Alan calls himself the rock musicianary to tweens.
Yep. and he's got a very special way of connecting with that very strange people group
through his award-winning music.
Yeah, but did you know he has also written some fantastilicious devotional books for tweens? Fantastilicious. I'm just trying to sound like him. The names of his books for tweens are a little weird.
Oh, that's right. He's got some crazy names for his books, like Ortho Doctrines.
Yeah, you better make an appointment for that one.
And Disciplification.
How complicated can that be?
And Designamentals.
Elementary, my dear Watson.
And then Bibliotectonics.
Huh?
Yes, the titles are fun, but the content, while presented in a very simple format, have some serious depth to them. And that's a key for tweens who don't want to work too hard, but they are seeking deeper answers.
Yeah, they want to think for themselves now, rather than just be told what to believe like when they were younger.
Exactly. You sound like an expert.
Well, I get it from you.
Well, thank you.
I just read your mind and say whatever I see.
Well, be careful.
Oh, yeah. The blackmail letter's coming, buddy.
Anyway, you can learn more about this self-described semi-ubiquitous dude at alanroot.com.
Did I mention his music is really catchy and fun?
Yeah, and I'd add that his music is not just for tweens. Kids and puppets of all ages will be tapping their foot and enjoying it. In fact, every time we get into the minivan, my little boy requests Alan's version of Jesus Loves Me. In fact, I think he thinks that's the normal version.
Yeah, someday in Sunday school, he's going to be telling the teacher she's singing it wrong.
Maybe. Well, this brings us to the end of our podcast for this week. But join us next time when we will talk about the third critical aspect of being a missionary to kids. We've done speaking their language through humor, joining them in their work,
play,
and next will be...
Can I have a hint?
A hint? Okay, here's your hint.
Cool, Darth Vader's gonna be on the podcast.
No.
You're gonna teach us how to use the Force to reach kids?
I wish. Well, until next time, this is Carl and Gus on the Children's Ministry Podcast.
You can't do that!
What?
Give a hint like that, and then tell us what it is.
That's what a hint is.
No further.
Join us next time as Carl concludes this three-part series on connecting with kids as a missionary to their culture. You don't want to miss it. As usual, it will be fun as well as practical and encouraging. Be sure to subscribe via iTunes and tell a friend about the Children's Ministry Podcast, which can easily be found at childrensministrypodcast.com. Many thanks to Alan Root for his faithful commitment to creatively reaching kids and encouraging those who are seeking to impact the future by pouring into kids today. See you next time on childrensministrypodcast.com.